You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Uncommon. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. Hey, I trust that you're enjoying the summer and that you've had a lot of fun. And I just want to encourage you to make sure that you're taking some time for your family. I mean, this is just a huge opportunity for you and I to nurture and build our relationships with our spouses and our kids, as well as our extended family. So I trust that you're taking time to do that. It's of most importance in our walk and in our journey, as well as in all of life. Well, we're in this series called Uncommon, and here's what we're learning. That uncommon means unusual. It means extraordinary. It can mean being uncomfortable because you're differentiating yourself among everybody else. You're willing to do things that other people are not willing to do. And so we're looking at uncommon because normal isn't working. And so we don't want to be normal people. We want to be uncommon people. And when Christ comes into your life and he comes into my life as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, we are now no longer normal people. We are in the arena of being uncommon people. And so last week we looked at the uncommon vision. That all of us need to have an uncommon vision. And we talked about what vision really meant. And vision is a mental picture of what could be, but is fueled by the conviction that it should be. And that's an uncommon vision. That you see life or you see a situation for what it could be, and it begins to fuel you with the conviction that it should be, that it has to happen. It has to happen. And so we talked about having an uncommon vision. And here's what we ultimately ended up learning. That without a vision, you will come to the end of your life and wonder what could have been and what should have been. That if you don't lay hold of an uncommon vision, that you'll ultimately come to the end of your life, I'll come to the end of my life, and wonder what could be and what should have been. And that like many others, you will wonder if your life even counted. You'll look back over your life and say, did my life really matter? Did my life really count for anything? And so it's so important that you and I develop an uncommon vision. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to it on the podcast or get a CD. But how do you know if your vision is from God? How do you know that you have an uncommon vision from God? Well, if your vision is truly from God, it will somehow be connected to His church and His plan for the world. You see, a God-honoring vision always helps out other people. It always comes to a point of where it blesses and encourages other people. You see, why would God give you, or why would God give me, or why would God even give New Point a self-centered vision, unconnected with what He really wants to do and accomplish in the world? And so He wants to use you, He wants to use me to the fulfillment of His vision. We talked about it last week. Now, here's what we need to understand. You and I, as individuals, and you and I collectively as New Point, will never be able to fulfill an uncommon vision unless we develop an uncommon faith. And that's why many people come to the end of their life and wonder if their life even counted. Because we don't take this second step in living an uncommon life. And that is to develop an uncommon faith. And today we're going to look at what it takes to fulfill an uncommon vision. And it's for you and I to be able to develop an uncommon faith. Now, what does a common faith look like, okay? If we're going to talk about uncommon faith, what does a common faith look like? Well, it's a person who believes in God. And by the way, Scripture tells us that even the demons believe in God, and they shudder, which is more faith than what many people have. You maybe give sporadically. Maybe you show up to church every once in a while. Maybe you serve inconsistently. Maybe you talk to God only when things get difficult and challenging and painful. And maybe you have this kind of thinking. Well, you know what? I just hope my bad outweighs my good, and I hope somehow I make it to heaven. That's the common faith. And many people have that in their life. But what I want to share with us today is this, that God wants to develop in you an uncommon faith. He wants to develop in you an uncommon faith. And you might say, well, why? Well, because faith or trust is the centerpiece of every great relationship. You see, you can't have a healthy relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with your mom, with your dad, with your boss, with your leader, with your friends, without faith and trust being the centerpiece. And as that trust deepens, relationships deepen and they mature. And one of the things that I've always said about my relationship with Patty, that the greatest thing that Patty and I have is a deep trust and belief in one another. And that gets us through all of the trials, all of the trouble, all of the disagreements, all of the miscommunications, all the misunderstandings, because we have a deep, deep trust in one another. And it's the centerpiece of every strong, mature relationship. And you know that when your trust begins to deteriorate, whether it's with your boss, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your mom or dad or a friend, that relationship begins to deteriorate. And it just becomes a common relationship instead of being an uncommon relationship. Now, here's what we need to understand. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to reestablish a relationship with mankind. And for that relationship to happen, there had to be trust. There had to be an act of belief. The Bible would use the word faith. And so anything that enhances a relationship comes back to trust, whether it's between spouses, whether it's between nations, whether it's between siblings, whether it's between friends. You grow the trust and you deepen the relationship. And so it's no coincidence that our relationship with God was initiated by faith, by trust. You remember the verse? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes, whosoever has faith in, whosoever trusts in Him, shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life, have a relationship. And isn't it interesting that we receive eternal life by believing or by trusting in Christ? You see, the very first thing that God requires of any of us is our trust. And why is that? Well, that's because that's what relationships are made of. And what your Heavenly Father wants most from you is a relationship. And it's a relationship that is characterized by trust. And if we're going to fulfill the uncommon vision that He has for you personally, and that He has for me personally, and that He has for us corporately as New Point, then what happens is we have to develop a deep, deep trust in God. We have to have an uncommon faith. And I want to make sure that you understand this very, very important distinction. Spiritual growth or spiritual development is not primarily about becoming smarter. Can I just say this? You can know the books of the Bible and not have a deep trust in God. You can name all of the disciples and still not have a deep trust in God. You see, it's not about becoming smarter. It's about deepening a relationship with God, with your Heavenly Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so consequently, spiritual growth is about faith. The bigger the faith, the deeper your relationship. You see, what happens is knowledge only will make you proud. Obedience only will make you judgmental. But trust will make you and I more dependent and reliant upon God. And that's what He's after. And as your friend, as your teacher, as your pastor, I hope that you learn a lot. For the sake of your family and friends, I hope you obey a lot. But most importantly, I hope that you have a big, big faith. Because that's how you and I honor God. You know, one of the things that I will ask our kids every now and then, and maybe I've been in a conversation with you and I've asked you this. What's your greatest desire in your relationship with God? And you know what I get? Here's what I get. I get so often, well, I want to please God. And I tell people, wrong answer. You ever tried to please a perfectionist? None of us feel loved by hanging out with perfectionism. Okay? We just feel like we never, ever measure up. And I tell them, you know, the thing that should characterize our relationship with God the most, the thing that you and I should be seeking after, is to trust God. And what we're going to learn today is that when you and I learn to trust God, ultimately we end up pleasing God. Now, you see this all throughout Scripture. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you read the Gospels, you find out that there's only two times that Jesus was amazed. Two times that really got His attention. And one is found in Mark, and we see it here. It says in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, He, referring to Jesus, could do no mighty works there except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. And He marveled. The word marveled there means He was amazed. He was astonished. He was astounded. He marveled because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. And so Jesus goes back to His hometown, and He was amazed at their unbelief. He was astonished at their unbelief. The second time that we find out that Jesus was amazed was in Matthew. And here's what Matthew records. Jesus has encountered a soldier, a Roman soldier, and he comes to Jesus, and he has this servant who is sick. And he tells Jesus this. He says, you know what? If you will just say the word, my servant will be healed. He said, you don't even have to come to my house because I am a man of authority. And I tell one soldier to do this and they will do that. And I tell another soldier to do this and they will obey. I understand authority and I understand that you have authority. And so you don't need to come to my home. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. And here's what Jesus said in response to that. When Jesus heard it, He marveled. He was amazed. He was astounded. And said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, check this out, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Wow. And this boy wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he understood who God was. He understood that all authority rested in Him. And he said, you know what? You say the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm amazed by you, man. I'm amazed. You see, everybody else around Him knew the Torah. They could quote the first five books of the Bible, but they didn't amaze Jesus with their faith. So you can know a whole lot of the Bible and not have an uncommon faith. You just got a lot of knowledge. Y'all okay? And that's where most people live. And yet this Roman soldier had an uncommon faith because he understood who God is. And what is faith? Faith is believing that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He has promised to do. And so the Hebrew writer writes this in Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, without trust, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wow. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, you're not going to please God through your behavior. That's what we try to do. You're going to please God because you trust him unreservedly, that you believe that he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he has promised to do. So how do you and I develop this kind of uncommon faith? Well, a number of years ago, I came across something that Andy Stanley shared. And he shared 5 catalysts of faith. And when I read this a number of years ago, I said, you know what? That's true in my life. And I've adopted these, and we've adopted them here at New Point. And I want to share them with you because I trust that they will help you as they have helped me in being a catalyst for my faith, of developing an uncommon faith. And so I want to share with you the 5 catalysts of faith. Now, what I want to do is explain to you what a catalyst is, okay? Let's look at what it is. It's an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. And so the 5 things that I want to share with you will provoke or speed significant change or action in your faith in God. So let's look at these, all right? Let me encourage you to follow along in your note-taking guide today. Here's the first one. The first one is practical teaching. Practical teaching. And this is huge. And here's what I mean by practical teaching. Practical teaching reveals where we are and where we need to go. That's practical teaching. You know, here's what they said about Jesus. They said no one ever taught like Jesus taught. He was an incredible teacher because when Jesus taught, he revealed where people were and where they needed to go. And by the way, that's our goal here every time we gather. You know, some of you have said to me, Dwight, you're reading my mail. No, what I'm doing is revealing where you are. But I don't want to leave you there. I want to take you where you need to go. That's why in most of our messages here, there's always an action verb. There's always an action verb in the point because we don't want to pass along information. We want to be able to challenge you to do something. You know, Scripture would say, don't be hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. And so practical teaching reveals where we are and where we need to go. And so you're not coming here for a history lesson. You're interested in how to do life. How do we do life? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And that's what Jesus did when he came. He taught people how to do life. Now in Matthew chapter 7, we end up reading about the Sermon on the Mount. And he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching a lifestyle. And he comes to the end here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27. And after he gives this great message, here's what he says. Therefore, in light of what I just said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine that I've just been sharing and puts them into practice, key phrase, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had as its foundation on the rock. And then he goes on. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains come down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about when you hear truth and you apply it to your life, you're wise. And when life comes at you in all directions, you will be able to withstand it. But you're a fool if you come here and you listen to truth and you hear biblical principles and you leave and you don't apply it. Because when life comes at you, your life will fall apart. And so practical teaching is one of the catalysts that God uses to build your faith and my faith. Now here's what we need to understand. Unapplied truth is like paint. It doesn't do anybody any good until it's applied. And so here at New Point, this is why we create message series and lessons around felt needs. So September the 10th, we have Friends Day. We're kicking off a series about trust issues. What do you do when God doesn't make sense? Okay, that's going to touch you and everybody that you know. And so we do series and lessons around felt needs. Our messages have specific application and at time homework. And so that's why we have practical teaching. And it's very, very, very important. And so we've identified a handful of key biblical principles for each age group, whether it's the rainforest, whether it's velocity, whether it's collective, whether it's in this room. We've identified key biblical principles, key biblical truths that we come back over and over again so that you can learn how to do life and live an uncommon life and fulfill that uncommon vision that God has for you. Let's look at the second catalyst, and that is this: providential relationships. Providential relationships. This is huge, folks, okay? Providential relationships allow us to hear from God through others. It allows us to hear from God through others. You know, when you talk to somebody about their life and you hear their story, they mention people. And they mention people who have had a positive impact on their life and a negative impact on their life. And they can go back, and you can too. If you would draw the line of your life, you would be able to go back and say, you know what, it was because of that providential relationship that impacted me this way, that took me down this path or took me down that path. And providential relationships are huge. And so we have to be wise. We have to be wise about who we hang out with, because they'll either build your faith or they'll tear down your faith. That's why Proverbs tells us this: walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, who's the wise person? Well, we just learned. The wise person is the one who knows what is right and does it. Who's the fool? The fool is the one who knows what is right and chooses not to. And so you want to be able to have providential relationships. You see, here's what I've come to believe and know and experience. Your relationships determine the depth and the quality of your life, and not only your life, but your faith in God. Somebody has said it like this. You ready for this? Listen. You're the average of the five closest people to you. So just look at your relationships. You don't like where you are in your faith? You need to change some friends. Providential relationships. You need somebody who will spur you on, who will love you, who will help you, who will grow your faith, who will speak hope and encouragement in your life. That's why we are a church of small groups. That's why we encourage everyone to get into a small group, because of the providential relationships that you will be able to expose yourself to, and God will speak through other people to you about things in your life that will encourage you, that will spur you on. And that's why we keep children and students with the same small group leader. That's why we ask you to serve consistently, week in and week out. Because what happens is, the only way that you're going to be able to have the confidence and permission to speak into somebody's life if you have a consistent relationship with them. You see, none of us want to hear something from the peanut gallery. We're much more open to somebody who is consistently in our life. And that's called a providential relationship. Here's the third catalyst. It's private disciplines. Private disciplines. And here's what I want us to understand about private disciplines. Private disciplines tunes our hearts towards God. Tunes our hearts towards God. Now, we don't like the word discipline, okay? But the fact of the matter is, we all need to experience discipline in our life. We all need to develop some routines in our life. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he gives two disciplines that all of us need to be able to embrace and live out if we're going to develop an uncommon faith. The first one is give. That's our treasure. That we need to develop the discipline of giving to God. Probably nothing has increased my faith more than learning how to be disciplined in my giving to God by honoring God with my giving. Nothing has transformed my faith and built my faith more than that. And Jesus speaks about it. Look what he has to say here in Matthew. He says, so when you give, not if you give, Jesus assumes that if you know him, you're going to be generous. You're going to have an uncommon faith. You're just automatically going to be generous because you know that he's the owner of everything. And so he says here, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give, here's what he says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. And here's where the faith begins to build. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will what? Will reward you. Wow. Can I have your attention? Because I'm going to say something that's going to rock your world. But it is so true, it's going to make you uncomfortable. But if you're going to have an uncommon faith, you got to be willing to get uncomfortable. And here's what I believe with all my heart. Our desire for money does more to compete with our relationship with God than anything else. You know the reason why you worry? Because you can't trust God with your money. That's why you spend up nights worried about your kids. See, the fact of the matter is, if we're truthful, money is at the center of our life. And until you learn to trust God with your money, you'll never be able to trust God with all of your life. And so you need to develop a private discipline of giving to God, saying, God, I realize that you're the owner of everything. And I realize that you will reward me when I honor you with my giving. Jesus goes on to mention another discipline, and it's prayer. And this has to do with our time. This has to do with our time. We give our time to things that we feel are important. And here's what Jesus said again. And when you pray, not if you pray. He's saying, if you're in relationship with me, you're going to talk to me, aren't you? You're not going to ignore me. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. That's like you only hold your wife's hand at church. Y'all right on that one? You only put your arm around your wife in church so everybody can see. You don't do it at home. You don't do it in the car. You just do it at church because you're wanting to impress people. That's what he's talking about here. He says, truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. He goes on to say this, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Wow, that takes faith. That takes trust. Then your Father who sees what you've done in secret will what? Will reward you. And so what he is saying is that you and I, if we're going to develop this uncommon faith, we need to be able to take time in our daily schedule to say, God, I need to get alone with you, and I need to talk to you, and I want you to talk to me. And I want to hear from you because you know the future. I don't know the future. You know what I should do. I don't know what I should do. You see, here's the bottom line. God wants you to trust him with the first few minutes and the first few dollars that you have. Why? Because it will deepen your trust in God, because you will see God move and work in your heart and life like you never have. And it all goes back to this one truth. Every healthy relationship is held together partly by disciplined actions and routines. Here's what I know about your marriage. If you have a healthy, strong marriage, you have some routines that you have set in place. One of the things that Patty and I, we did it last week. We always have lunch every Friday. We had to establish that as a discipline if we were going to grow and deepen our trust with one another. As a family, you know what? 6 o'clock, guess what? Probably 5 out of 7 nights a week, we had family dinner together. You show me any relationship that's healthy, and I will show you people who are acting in disciplined ways, because that's how you develop it. And so here at New Point, this is why we give children a God time card each week, so that you can begin to train them and develop them to say, hey, you know what? It's important to talk to my Heavenly Father, and I'm going to train you and develop you to do that. We did it with all four of our kids. This is why we offered Discover classes, so that what happens is you can learn how to read the Bible. You can learn how to develop a prayer life. You can read and learn how to have a time alone with God. This is why we offer this, because we want to build an uncommon faith in you. Let me give you the last two. The fourth one is pivotal circumstances. Pivotal circumstances. And pivotal circumstances forces us to look to God. We've all been there, right? Huh? We've all been there. We've all had life fall apart. And when life falls apart, what happens is it forces us to look to God. Maybe that's why you're here today. Because some things have happened in your life that's out of your control, and it's forced you to look to God. And you're thinking, you know what? I think I better get back to church. I think I better try to reconnect with God, because my marriage is falling apart. My health is slipping. And so pivotal circumstances forces us to look to God. Paul would say it like this. He says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. You ever been there? Boy, I have. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See, when all life falls apart in your life and my life, it's a pivotal circumstance. We can either run to God and build our faith, or run away from God in anger and lose our faith. C.S. Lewis would say it like this: God whispers to us in our pleasure. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So if you're experiencing pain today, if you feel a little bit out of control, God wants your attention. It's a pivotal circumstance in your life. That's why James says it like this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He goes on to say this: let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be what? Smarter. More knowledgeable. No, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so here's what I want you to hear. God is so honored by our trust that he will leverage anything and everything to grow our faith. He will use everything in your life. He will use those pivotal circumstances to get your attention and my attention, so that it forces us to look to God. That's why here at New Point, we offer small groups, support groups, and mentoring groups, so that you can develop those providential relationships, that you will have people in your life who will speak truth to you and hope to you and healing to you, so that what happens is you won't fall prey to discouragement and defeat and depression. And so God will use pivotal circumstances. I know in my own life, two of them have been when I dealt with cancer and I dealt with open heart surgery. You want to feel the sentence of death. You want to deal with your mortality. Just let the doctor say, hey, you know what? You got cancer and you have a tumor and we have to remove it from your body. Or have a doctor say this to you: you know what? We got a cut on you. And if we don't cut on you, I don't think you're going to live very long. And it's in those pivotal circumstances that God wants to use in your life and my life, and he's used them in my life, to deepen my trust in him and realize that he is the giver of all life, and that it's in him that I move and I live and I have my being. And then finally, personal ministry. This is the last one. This is the last catalyst. And this is personal ministry. And personal ministry enables us to experience God's power. To experience God's power. Do you know that God wants to use you? I mean, he wants to use you. He wants you to fulfill that uncommon vision. He wants you to do that. He wants me to do that. And yet what happens is many times there's a reluctance because we feel insecure, or we feel that we are inadequate. And what happens is some of you have the story of saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to push past my fear and I'm going to lead a small group. I'm going to push past my fear and I'm going to get involved in children's ministry. I'm going to push past my fear and I'm going to lead a small group for senior high. And what happens is you go there and guess what happens? God shows up and he uses you in a powerful, powerful way. And you experience the power of God in your life and you're thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe that he used me to bring encouragement or hope or healing to someone's life. Here's what I want us to understand. We do what we can do and we trust God to do what only he can do. And when you do that, you know what? God shows up, I'm telling you. And you know what happens to your faith? It deepens. And you begin to experience what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. He says, I can do all things. Is this an uncommon faith? Huh? I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything. Does that sound like an uncommon faith? And I am equal to anything. Sound like an uncommon faith? Through him who infuses me with inner strength and confidence and peace. Wow. That's why we encourage everyone to serve. That's why we have student impact. And we have those in senior high school serve on the weekends so that they can experience the power of God moving and working in their veins, being used of God to touch somebody else. And guess what happens? Their faith explodes. So let me close with this. What catalyst do you need to activate in your life? Maybe it's practical teaching. Maybe you need to begin not just to come to take notes, but you need to apply that. Maybe you need providential relationships. Maybe you need to get into a small group. Maybe you need to begin to give and develop a personal devotional life and start to pray and read God's word. Maybe you need to take that pivotal circumstance that wants to crush you and say, God, I'm going to trust you in that. Or maybe you need to get involved in ministry. And I'm telling you, this will engage you into a relationship with God that will deepen your faith and deepen your trust. Every great relationship is characterized by trust. God wants you to trust him. He wants me to trust him. And when we do, we'll have an uncommon faith. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. And we thank you that you want a relationship with us, not just a common relationship. You want an uncommon relationship with us. And so I pray for each of us here today that we would put into practice what you are asking of us and that we would see our faith explode and that we would not only have an uncommon vision, but we would have an uncommon faith that would even get heaven's attention and that you and all of heaven would marvel at our trust in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.